Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Melanology Hour with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pogram, MD, and biomedical researcher, physiological psychologist, and professor, Dr. Timothy Owens Moore.
Well, greetings, everyone. How are you? And welcome to the Melanology Hour. We have a wonderful discussion going on for ourselves today. And as usual, I have my co-host with me, Dr. T. Owens Moore. How are you doing, Dr. Moore?
Greetings. Happy holidays. All's well.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. So I'm glad that we're back together again. And we have a really interesting topic to discuss. I think that was just really wonderful, and I really appreciated how you sent me that article on vitamin D and how finally the medical system is recognizing that the standards that are being used to measure health in humans is not adequate because of the inability for medicine up until this time to recognize the very important interactions that occur when melanin is present, especially in large amounts, in variants of our race where the standard of blood type, amount of blood cells, chemical levels in the bloodstream of many minerals and vitamins, etc., will vary because of their interaction with melanin. And so we're going to be discussing, so listen very carefully, everyone, again, the research that's been known since the very early 60s, that race variance, now I'm going to define what that is for you, the standards of growth and development, chemical analysis, hematologic patterns, et cetera, will vary worldwide based on the melanin content of the individual. So there's been a lot of research that's been going on also regarding vitamin D. Dr. Moore and myself are of the school that vitamin D is an integral component of melanin. We have another school that says that vitamin D is a totally separate substance in the body, and that there are means not connected to melanin that we could use to actually enhance or diminish this substance without having a significant effect on melanin. Now, I know for a fact that there are studies that are going on right now by universities in South Africa where they are using native South Africans because of their exposure to the sun to determine whether they are experiencing vitamin D deficiencies even in the face of sunlight, because there are schools of thought that believe that melanin literally suppresses the function of vitamin D. And when I heard that, I just thought that was just incredible. However, they're seriously investing money to prove that having too much melanin is going to naturally make you deficient in vitamin D. I just thought that was incredible. So we have a specialist here, Dr. Moore, who's been working with this for decades, who's going to set that straight. But we'll be back right after our sponsors, and I want to again talk to you about the importance of melanin in the body across the board in humans and why the present healthcare system is going to have to redefine their standards of measuring health versus disease based on ethnicity and melanin content. This must stay. So I'll be right back after this word, and let's talk about ethnicity and human variance. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jewel. OrganoGold provides fine coffee, green tea, and hot chocolate products blended with the remarkable mushroom known as Ganoderma, referred to by the Cantonese as Ling Shi, the herb of spiritual potency. Ganoderma improves the immune system, increases metabolism, eliminates toxins and free radicals, as well as provides energy and vitality. OrganoGold products are a delicious solution that can help ensure that your health and energy balance is one prepared for a lifestyle of longevity. Click the banner on thejewelnetwork.net or send an email to goldcoffeeforlife@gmail.com and get yours today.
Well, greetings. If you just tuned in, wonderful, you're just in time. We're going to be talking about ethnicity and human race variance relative to health standards in Western medicine. Now, in my book, I'm always talking about everybody else's book, but I've really spent time on this ethnicity business. In my book, Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z, I have a whole chapter on ethnicity. And I bring it to your attention, first of all, that we have to make some corrections in our thinking. First thought is that there is no such thing as race, because we have found out that all humans have the same exact human genetic composition or genome to a degree of 99.9%. Now, this may change as we develop more brain connections or more neurons in our brain are communicating. And I want to make this caveat because it's very important to understand that the genes are holographic, they're multidimensional, and there's so much information stored from all over the universe in our genes, which means that we may find out a lot of different things. But at this moment, at the level of dimensionality that we are able to comprehend in our consciousness, we are only activating and modulating our body through one level of genetic activity. And that level, at this time, based on our scientific analysis and technical capability, is the same, up to 0.1%. So we have now had to change our terminology to recognize that we are dealing with variants in the one race species, which means then that we have just one race with the same origin, same mother and father, from the same location on planet Earth, Africa at the equator. Everyone originally was heavily melanated, but as we begin to literally travel throughout the planet, et cetera, our exposure to temperature, to variation in environment, and also to the angulation of the sun has allowed the genes to adapt not only intrinsically, which means the organ systems, but also phenotypically, which means how the individual looks. So therefore, we can look quite different, and we do look quite different, but it does not mean that we are a different race. It means that we are activating a set or collection of genes that are different from another group of humans who collectively are living in a different environment. This is what we're seeing. So with that understood, then, that is in essence is saying that different groups of people are activating or under-stimulating certain genes on the universal gene pool for the human species. And one of those main characteristics that we see so obviously is individuals who are heavily melanated, individuals who have medium amounts of melanin that vary in color, and individuals who have very little melanin. The same gene is responsible for making all of these different hues of melanin, but it is the state of consciousness of the individual and their perception of themselves relative to their environment, interpreting the experiences of the environment will determine how the genes will respond. This is what we're seeing. So melanin recessive individuals have the same gene as melanin dominant individuals, but their state of consciousness and their response to their environment has minimized the production of melanin in these individuals. So, why is this significant? Because we know that melanin is a universal substance. It interacts and is involved in all of the reactions in the human body. So when there is a quantitative significant amount of melanin in a human organism, we have to look at the standard for that individual relative to their melanin content, because the melanin is highly reactive in all body systems. That has not occurred in Western medicine. So what we have observed up to this day is that Western medicine has only used the blood standard growth curves of development neurologically, biologically for melanin recessive individuals. And so this is why melanin dominant individuals on too many occasions are not properly diagnosed, are also inappropriately treated, because the activity of melanin and the health of melanin has never really ever been determined, assayed, and then quantitatively considered in the present status of biological health for that particular individual. So with that said, we know, for example, that melanated individuals have a different blood count of red blood cells, of white blood cells in the system at all times, primarily for a couple of reasons. One reason is that we know that melanated people do not require as many blood cells to carry oxygen throughout the system, because melanin itself has the capacity to carry so much energy and impart to the cells the capacity to make oxygen within themselves. Now, this is new research come out, but we know for a fact that when we look at the chemistry that is driven by melanin, melanin can make oxygen, it makes water, it also makes sugars in the cell. We also recognize that this biopolymer is very dynamic in driving growth and development very rapidly. So nervous system, the developmental rate of the body, the melanin you have determines your muscle mass, which usually 10 times denser than melanin recessive individuals, your bone density 8 times more than melanin recessive individuals. So therefore, if the indices used in the hospital to measure calcium in the bloodstream and in the tissues, as well as the amount of blood cells in the circulation, if melanin and its functions are not taken into consideration, these individuals are mislabeled as anemic, also mislabeled as hypocalcemic, that is, that they have low calcium levels, many other diagnoses that are not correct and therefore are mistreated. So it's very important now, especially since most everybody in America will be able to have access to the present hospital system, that for this hospital system not to do even greater harm, because they now have access to many more people of extreme diversity, they must redefine and reestablish the standards for measuring disease and health based on the biological and neurological activity of that variant. And not using the term race anymore. It's a variant, a human variant. So whether they're Hispanic, which is a human variant, whether they're African, a human variant, whether they're Asian, that's a human variant of the one human species, the blood quality, tissue functions differ, and that has to be their standard. And presently, the Western medical system has not invested in ensuring that all physicians are taught this, all personnel in the hospitals taught this, as well as re-standardizing their laboratory. So there's a lot of work to be done here, but I'm most concerned about the fact that most of you, as my listening audience, don't know that when you go into the hospital right now, if you have to be heavily melanated, that you're not seen as a melanated person. You are measured by the standards of an individual who would be considered melanin recessive. And that is why you may be on arm pills. You're told that you're anemic when you have a hemoglobin of 10.5 or 11. A hemoglobin, which is the red blood cell count of red blood cells in the circulation, is not abnormal at all for a melanated individual. But if you're melanin recessive, that is, if you don't have a lot of melanin, yes, that is a low blood count for you. And so, therefore, you need to be supplemented. So the standard for melanin recessive individuals is 12 to 14. So here you are at 10.5 or 11, and you're doing fine, but they're telling you that you're anemic, and then how they treat you is also not in the best interest of the human body, because they literally give you iron rust in tablet form to take, which is very harsh on the digestive tract and a lot of other problems. The indigenous innate method for all humans to receive adequate biological sources of iron is through chlorophyll and through magnesium, because the body has a capacity to change the electronic configuration of many of our elements and use it as another element. For example, manganese can easily be changed to calcium based on its outer shell of electrons, and the body will use manganese as a calcium in many of the reactions, and the organism will never have any deficiencies that they know of or any biological maladies. So without further ado, Dr. Moore, why don't you give us the ends on the latest research has been discussed with vitamin D, since you kind of mentioned calcium, and what is the inference here relative to melanin functionality in the human body?
Well, the erroneous aspect of everything that's going on is that medical science will never be able to really acknowledge the beauty in blackness or the beauty of blackness, because we have all these social dynamics where you see black people at the bottom rung, not being valued. You saw what happened in Hurricane Katrina. You keep hearing all these dynamics of like the sister in Detroit who went to go seek some help, and she got shot by the man through his door. So we got this dynamic where people don't value the beauty of blackness. So when you have it from that perspective, medical science is not really going to value these dynamics that you're presenting, because it has nothing to do with them. So we then have to be provocative to really explain the same reality of a people who can tell you what their concept of God's religion is and make you think that. Guess what? They can do the same thing in medical science. And they've had us thinking that the prototype of what we need to look at as standard is like the white rat, and now we have the Caucasian as the standard, and now you have all these odd findings that are really irrelevant to people who are melanated. The most recent study came out about vitamin D levels. For so long, scientists have said that, well, those people who used to be by the equator, used to, I guess, evolutionarily be close to the equator or dark in color, and as they move further away, then they lost their ability to what so-called manufacture vitamin D. Vitamin D really isn't a vitamin, it's a hormone. It's a hormone that's really created from sunlight interacting with the skin. So, and when we say hormone, we say steroid hormone, which means it can have powerful effects. We're now here in wintertime, winter months, cold. So some people take cod liver oil and take substances that can produce more vitamin D because during this time of the year, they need to build their immune systems. What does vitamin D help? It helps to build your immune system. So people who are melanated are able to fight off diseases beyond just the wintertime. But throughout the year, they can do that. So people have said that, well, the reason why maybe black men are developing prostate cancer is because the vitamin D interaction is causing them to, you know, be more susceptible because they're now not processing vitamin D as much as anybody else. Well, now we know that studies have been wrong. We look at the wrong, levels of vitamin D rather than look at the bioavailability of vitamin D. So when we say changes in the way that scientists will be analyzing some of these tests, we have to be at the forefront to dictate that this has to be done because medical science is not caring about African or black or dark or melanated people. You see that book by Harry Washington called Medical Apartheid. For years they've done studies in science to what negate the issue of blackness. But we have to really talk about the beauty of it because it really does then acknowledge the fact that melanin as a biopolymer can absorb, take in, like a sponge, chemicals. It can also release them potentially at later times. If that's the case, it explains then why some of these studies do not relate to us. As you even mentioned this issue about ethnicity and the health industry, we have to also look at drug testing. If people are being tested for drugs and guess what, they're highly melanated, those tests are going to be off. The standards won't be correct. So unless we, on the Melanology Hour and through your program, push this, as you said, with vitamins and minerals from A to Z that you've already written, unless we put that at the forefront, we're not going to have access to really making a change in the medical industry. So I just commend you on, again, for years talking about ethno-specific situation we need to be dealing with. Most people run from that because, again, we're running from what blackness is. There's science to blackness. There's science to melanin. And that's, you know, that's why I wrote the book, The Science of Melanin, to discuss those types of real scenarios rather than talking about it as some mysterious molecule. No, it's the molecule for life. We talked about that with
plants. I can interject this. I think it's very important that this is, and I've said this, that the melanin biopolymer is the chemical for the 21st century. And it's very important that all humans come to an understanding of how important this biopolymer is in their body, regardless of what their skin type and hair color and eye color is. Because melanin recessive individuals, as you well know, are suffering tremendously because of the minimal amount of melanin they have, and if they have a very intense psychological bias about melanin, and that is about anybody who may be displaying copious amounts of melanin phenotypically, that is in their skin color, hair color, eye color, or minimal amounts, automatically create neuropeptides that deactivate the amount and the capability of melanin in their own body just because of their biasness. Now, this is a whole new concept that has to be considered because with the amount of melanin, or should I say multiple sclerosis, fibrocystic disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, retinitis pigmentosa, Parkinson's disorder. All of these neurologic disorders are happening in much greater quantities in melanin recessive individuals. And I postulate that the reason why it has come to such a confrontation is because of the continuous bias in their thinking that causes their own brain to create neurotransmitters that begin to deactivate and shut down this primary driving biopolymer necessary for every cell to function in the human body. They're shutting it down because of their attitude. And this is why it's very important to understand. It's very interesting that, you know, it seems as though the trend has been, especially in medicine, that, you know, we hurt a lot of people because we thought that this was the best thing to do, i.e. with, you know, using monkey blood and viruses to inoculate humans with, or that we should give, you know, shock therapy to individuals who seem to be depressed, or that we thought we were doing the best thing. So therefore, we did this for 20, 25 years, and when we recognized finally that this was not the best treatment, it's like, oh well, and we just move forward. This is so critical at this point in time that we do not have that illusionary luxury to continue to use technologies, to continue to have attitudes that bring about bias and separation between humanity without destroying the self. So simply, what am I saying? I'm saying that the whole attitude of racism and biasness against melanin is literally causing those groups of people who have the most intense bias and have taken intense action on that bias to destroy their own nervous system. That is what's happening. Now, my colleagues in the medical profession, it will take them probably 30 years before they figure it out. They're finally figuring out that epigenetics, how we are thinking, really does affect our genes. But for them to move through the political, social, economic bigotry and understand that all of this is neurochemistry that you are so well aware of as a neurophysiologist, that when it hits the bloodstream, it literally incapacitates and shuts down the vital activities of melanin. And it appears very clearly that those individuals who have the greatest bias against melanin have the greatest neurologic disorders. Now, I'm putting that out there tonight because I really want humanity on all levels to understand how important it is that you have to make peace with the chemical that conducts the life force energy through your body. It's a known fact here that when we take literally the melanin out of a cell, the cell dies. When we take the melanin out of the cell, not the nucleus, but the melanin, it is very important to understand why, because it's in the mitochondria, it is in the Golgi apparatus. Yes, it does cover all the genes. You take the melanin off of the genes, you have almost instant mutation because it protects the genes in holding its stereochemical orientation so that the information released to the organelles in the cell is not adulterated. They call this mutation. So I just think it's very interesting that all of my colleagues scientifically, when they present how DNA looks, they never ever show the natural innate structure of DNA. DNA is never multiple colored when you look at it in its natural state. The only thing you can see is blackness. Is that not correct, Dr. Moore? Dr. Moore, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got you.
Okay. Is that correct? DNA in its natural state always appears to be totally covered in melanin. Is that correct?
It would have to be because it's melanin's at the very beginning stages of the neurotube development. I mean, it's at
exactly.
The,
but really, when do you see that presented? When they show the DNA double strand helix, it's always, you know, yellow and red and green and blue to show the different nucleotides, et cetera. So everybody thinks that, you know, this The genes are multiple beautiful colors. They never recognize the fact that you can't even see the nucleotides naturally or even through a microscope unless you strip the melanin off of them. So
yeah, I think you're the one talking about the term
chromatid,
right? Chromatid. Chroma deals with
exactly.
What?
Exactly. And so they don't even use right. So in the cell, melanin now becomes chromatin, correct. And they strip the first two major processes in interacting with DNA is to strip all the chromatin, i.e. melanin, off so that you can have now access to the nucleotide. But in life, you cannot exist without having the melanin outer coating on top of your DNA. DNA in a cell that is not covered with melanin immediately creates mutations, and the code and the information is scrambled and distorted, and the cell will function abnormally. So
you fast forward. You ain't give me a chance to rewind now. You talked about the issues of epigenetics and thinking. There are studies out showing that there's a placebo effect in how people respond to experiments. You could have a drug, let's say a chemical like epinephrine, which is a hormone that can cause excitement, adrenaline rushes, and cause your heart to beat fast. So there are studies done where they had people who were told that this drug would do that, and some were given a placebo. Well, they were involved in experiments where others who were like pretty much they were part of the experiment, but they were like the mean people in the experiment. And when it was time now for the person who got the placebo to now do something towards the person who was mean to them, their whole demeanor changed and responded like they told them the drug would do. It's placebo. They got a sugar pill. They got a sweet tart. But they were told that they would have a specific response. And guess what? Their whole body changed. Their whole mentality, their whole psychology changed. So you're right about that dynamic of people who have a whole concept about or negative concept about anything melanated because they melanated, they're then going to have a whole aura about them that really translates on a physiological level to some of the disorders that they then have.
There's a name for that, just like you talked about a placebo, which I understand in Latin means to help. Nocebo, N-O-S-C, is Latin for to harm or to hurt. And so when an individual thinks in terms of limitation or lack or bias, they automatically begin to create nocebos that when released from the brain into the nervous system begin to reverse any biological beneficial action of any tissue that is associated with that nocebo. So, for example, as I said, a person, even if they're heavily melanated, we know, who has issues with their melanin, is susceptible to any disease or any infection, even though it has already been tested and shown in the early 70s that any virus, any bacteria, any fungus that is put into an innate, intimate environment with the melanin biopolymer cannot flourish. That is to say that on a petri dish inoculated in the culture with melanin, no virus, no bacteria, no fungus can grow. So how can this be then that in a culture, no bacteria, no virus, no bacteria can grow. Melanin demonstrates that it is a universal bactericidal, fungicidal, and virucidal substance, but yet and still an individual who is intensely melanated can be totally consumed by a virus. Exactly, an example, HIV. But when we then do an interview and really ask them about their mental and psychological perceptions of themselves, they will always voice very intensely how they feel that their race, that their skin color has definitely not been advantageous for them to be successful in life. So they, in their own thinking, create a nocebo effect that totally debilitates and deactivates the capacity of melanin to allow it to support and sustain the immune system of the body. And we know that melanin plays a critical role in maintaining immunity in humans. Now, this is the same effect for anyone who basically who is melanin recessive and has issues with melanin. Especially they perceive issues with melanated people, they carry this same inability to regenerate, rapid aging, annihilation almost of their nervous system, et cetera, because of this bigotry relative to melanin. So it has nothing to do with, you know, how much melanin you have. It is your attitude about it that will allow the gene, in this case, chromosome number 11, loci number 8, the tyrosinase allele to function. And it is responsible for making the enzyme necessary to make melanin. Is that correct? And you've shut that all down with your attitude. So all beings who have allowed their consciousness to be spun into this perception of thinking that melanin is dark, that is to say, unwholesome, okay, not to be trusted, unworthy, okay, and anybody who has it, they don't recognize that they are still, I don't care how white and pale your skin may be, you are still attacking yourself because you cannot exist as a human being without having melanin in every cell, without having melanin in your mitochondria, without having melanin in your muscle cells, without having melanin in the back of your eye or your retina. So without having melanin functional, even though it may be in small amounts, in selective tissues of the body, the attitude is literally shutting down the amount of melanin that these individuals do have, and we are seeing it with tremendous disease and tremendous deformities that are occurring in this system. And my colleagues are not yet willing to tell individuals that they have to create a different thought pattern and a different attitude about this substance that modulates the life force energy through their body. So we have no systems to assay the type of biases, the type of very critical, fearful thinking that these individuals may have and who or what they projected on to assist them in helping them to see circumstances and other people differently to save their own tissue. Now, you know, I know for you, Dr. Moore, you know, this is like way, way right brain thinking, but if we don't bring both hemispheres of the brain together and be able to integrate straightforward, concise data with inspirational, theoretical, intuitive incident, we are not going to be able to save our species on this planet. All the other species are doing what they need to do so that they can make this transformation. And human beings are, you know, reacting instead of acting as though they're the most highly evolved species on the planet and adapting and making changes in their thought patterns and values so that we can also remain on planet Earth in the 21st century. And, you know, to me, I have to laugh. I have to always bring these things into the conversation because as you continue to develop your brain, I mean, you look up at the sky, the moon has a different relevance to you. When you're able to see Venus at sunrise and you're able to see Jupiter at sunset, you will automatically think about the fact, well, wow, you know, do they have a solar system like ours? Is that our sun? Is that their sun I'm looking at? then we're talking about other humanoid beings that are living on these other star systems. If you have a lot of difficulty accepting a variation of how you look that still carries the same geometric conformation for humans, that is one head, you know, two extremities, okay, two lower extremities, a torso, et cetera, without a significant amount of hair that walks upward, et cetera, that is the geometrical conformation for a human. If you have issues with that because of the variation that it may demonstrate in the amount of melanin, how are you going to deal with other humanoids that may have the same configuration of one head, two upper extremities, two lower extremities, and a torso, but yet and still may be purple, may be polka dot, okay, may only have one eye or whatever else, et cetera. How can you then, just because they come from a different star system, think that you're going to embrace them so easily when you've had so much difficulty embracing someone who basically just has very little variation from you? And see, this is the illusion. We are sitting here talking about, oh, we want to go to outer space, and we've got spaceships ready to take us to the moon and to Mars and all these different places. And your attitude, the attitude of most humans, is so alien to its own species, how do you think that we're ever going to be able to wholesomely interact with humanoid species that have even more variation in their phenotype than we do with ours from planet Earth? And so, you know, I'm very concerned about the fact that, you know, we constantly say we want to have these experiences and that we want to be able to interact on these different levels, but we will not groom and we will not nurture our attitudes and our states of consciousness to allow us to literally be able to embrace these new experiences we crave for without wanting to then bring destruction and limitation to the experience because you have not cultivated yourself to accept the self. We don't understand that. If you haven't accepted yourself, how are you going to embrace all these other variations of yourself? So this is another issue I find that also traumatizes our melanin, because the melanin is about change. It's about growth. It's about being able to literally handle all of these different wavelengths of light. We're constantly talking about how we can't handle ultraviolet, we can't handle X-ray, gamma, et cetera. But then again, we're turning around and finally figuring it out that we're composed of all of these frequencies of light, and that melanin literally is the nucleus, the source that allows us to process all of these wavelengths. Now, which one is it? You understand what I'm saying? So we have a system here that is very archaic in its presentation in the 21st century about who we are. They're still talking about black and white and race and all of these things, when scientifically we know this is not true. So, Dr. Moore, I'm really posing this to you, being in the university and being responsible for leveraging higher levels of education, what do you see that really needs to be done, that we need to really invade the information databases and these institutions to eradicate any further perpetuation of this level of ignorance that is going to circumvent our capacity to really get the best out of the 21st century? What is your solution?
Well, you present the issue of attitude, and there is a whole area of study in social psychology called attitudinal theory, but it doesn't go to the level of really discussing physiology. There's a whole area in psychology called physiology, not physiological psychology, which I'm pretty much trained as, but a psychophysiologist, which means that they can manipulate environments outside to see then what's the impact on a person's, let's say, heart rate or their blood pressure. So many people have used this in, I guess, race conscious or race, I guess, oriented studies. Like if you're looking at a police officer and they're about to arrest a black woman, you know, you did have a white person that could be a subject and a black person be a subject. They have totally different responses to observing that exact same video. So people who are in that area of study
psychophysiology will be able to pretty much focus on the presented. There's another area of work with functional magnetic resonance imaging machines. Those mm-hmm. are scans that can look inside the brain and see what a person is thinking.
Yeah, MRI.
This is pretty deep because you now have agencies from Homeland Security to Criminal Justice to agencies that are now going to be using can use these particular scans to see if there's a person who has a mindset that maybe they don't want to deal with. For example, you can look at certain images and maybe show a Trayvon Martin or an Oscar Grant or show a black male with a hood on, and what's the response in the person's brain? Well, this becomes dangerous because now you can start to look at, well, who you'd say may be a racist or something like that. The point is, technology is there. The research is available. It's now how do you apply it? That's the real issue. So as you're presenting it, in medical science, people are avoiding dealing with these issues because, again, oh, we're all the same now. You know what I mean? There's nothing, no differences that we have. Well, this is being stated and done because people are seeing the power of blackness and the genetic issue of wiping others out. So if we don't have an opportunity to, on a scientific level, to continually push the melanin piece to the forefront, we will continually have the research that is not focused on our health at hand. And that's why, then, like you said, all these particular diseases and things that prop up, and sometimes they're psychosomatic. They're psychosomatic because in the mindset, the person has a certain mental thinking that's now influencing their physiology, and you then wonder why you're getting sick all the time. So we need to just be in a position of, again, explaining how the mind can influence those chemicals, and as those chemicals then alter the body, guess what your thinking is impacted. A few weeks ago, studies came out confirming the existence of the same chemicals in the brain that are in the gut. It was on NPR a few weeks ago. They talked about the bacteria.
The gut brain, huh? Yeah, the gut brain.
Yeah. They were talking about and emphasizing the issue of the live bacteria, things that you can maybe get from yogurts, and how they're very beneficial to brain functioning. But
lactobacillus, yeah.
Yeah, so just the research is just emphasizing the reality that the same chemicals that are in the stomach area are also in the brain, and we know where the connection is. That's the vagus nerve, cranial nerve 10.
Exactly.
So when people are breathing during the meditation, and hopefully properly breathing, they're stimulating that nerve to stimulate the what? Chemicals to go to the brain and make you think properly. Which means, guess what? You could have attitude changes if you're not breathing right. If you're always angry, which then translates into, again, maybe stress and cardiovascular and all types of buildup within your system, making you have hypertension. So if we look at melanin being a chemical that absorbs and takes in, you see then why we suffer from so many hypertensive or cardiovascular issues in the community. You know, even in the South, there's a stroke belt. You know, it certainly deals with the diet too, but the stroke belt deals with the fact that, you know, there's a high melanated people in the southern region of the United States, and that's where strokes primarily occur.
Well, I think that's very interesting in association with that statement you made, Dr. Moore, that individuals in the South of the United States here definitely are under much more scrutiny and pressure because of their phenotypes by melanin recessive individuals that elevate the amount of cortisol in the bloodstream, which then intensifies the amount of basal constriction, that is where the arteries are just very tight and rigid because of this high level of cortisol, because these people are under physical as well as psychological attack continuously because of the amount of melanin in their skin.
Yeah.
So therefore, so it would make sense that, you know, the South would be a stroke belt.
Yeah, and we're so far behind in terms of our level of academics and what we should be doing for our community and building. We have there's actually studies and degrees, doctoral fellowships on Holocaust studies. Now, I don't know any degrees or postdoctoral fellowships on American slavery and what we went through. Because when you deal with that, the whole dynamic of being taken from your homeland and the stress of losing your child and the fact that you don't have the right foods to eat. You're going to tell me that has no impact on your genetic structure? You're going to tell me it has no impact on your
physiology? Well, of course it does, but what has happened here in America, as you know, is that that has totally been ignored. And therefore, like I said, medical science has the habit of inflicting very interesting treatment modalities on large groups of individuals, and then finally when they come into the awareness that we have options and that we could have done this different, it's like we just drop it and we just act like we've never done anything and we move forward. And this is what I'm saying is that all of this is going to come out very early in the 21st century if we, who are part of this medical establishment, don't demand that the research that we know that is available to us has to be implemented to save the masses of the human species. Back to your example, it's the same situation that's happening with post-traumatic stress disorder that has occurred from World War I, World War II, Korean War. It's gone on and on and on, and not until Desert Storm and Vietnam did we really start paying attention to the fact that there were psychological changes happening in these individuals and that we were not treating them for it and that we were not even conducive to want to isolate them. See, it's very clear, and I thought this was very interesting. You know, I'm big on hygiene, is that in the ancient times when groups of beings went to war, they did not allow the soldiers to come back to, quote, civilization for at least 6 months to a year. After the war was over, you could not come back to your village, you could not go back to your family for 6 to 8 months. And to me, that made so much sense because whatever they need to do, they knew that you had to, quote, come down from the high, intense, very paranoid, very anti-life behavior pattern that you used as a survivalist, that you had to have time to adjust to a more neutral environment. We don't support that now, and it appears as though the reason why we don't use that level of common sense is just because of finances.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if a person can go serve in a war for 6 months, 8 months, a year, and come back highly traumatized, then of course, if someone has been under oppression, physically abused, emotionally abused, for 250 years of slavery, well, of course they need to be treated. And this is one of the things that I've also written about, is that a society that would impose abuse on a group of people, knowing that they were abusive, and then not be willing to offer any type of remedy or solution, is doomed to its own destruction. And this is why everybody who calls themselves American is going to have to pay attention to what has happened and act appropriately. You just can't continue to go and kill up people for what it is that you want and think that doesn't affect you. Not only the African Americans that have been misused here, but look at what was done to the Native Americans. It was their land. And every time people even think about Thanksgiving, what do I think about? I think about a group of people who recognize that a different variant of themselves came to their shores, was willing to welcome them, share their land, share their resources, and this variant aggressively destroyed them. And therefore, how could a celebration of Thanksgiving occur when it is known for a fact that there's always blood under the table? There's always blood under the table. So I'm like, what happens to a group of people that can continuously bring harm to other people and ignore it and then think that they can move forward with their life? This is why the whole neuropsychological understanding of the death penalty. It's so intense for a culture who would impose this. They don't get the connection relative to what it does to all the, quote, survivors who would think that they would have the right to continue the act that they are so willing to criticize someone else for doing. So it's, like, amazing to me that it's okay if we kill because the government says we should. But just like many of the youth are saying, you're going to tell me that I can go and kill at 16 or 18 years old, but then you're going to pass a law and say that I can't buy cigarettes, that I can't buy alcohol. That is just so illogical. And the young people are admitting this. Who would go to Washington and say that you cannot buy cigarettes anymore or drink alcohol until you're 21? But yet and still, when the government feels that they're under stress and needs to be aggressive, oh, you're 18, no problem. We can send you over here and, you know, you can sacrifice your life for your country. We cannot continue to act like we have only two neurons communicating. And we're going to have to stop being so reactionary and disrespectful to life just because it doesn't look like us or because it speaks a different language, i.e. the Hispanics, and recognize that we are going to have to create whole new laws and interactions that respect, first of all, life, and then allow each and every individual to benefit. And it's going to be really, really very difficult here in this country until we recognize that we've got to see ourselves and others. The quantum physics has already demonstrated everything is entangled. Energetically, everything is related to everything. We're not only related to each other as human variants, but to the chair and to the tree and to the rats and to the cats and to the clouds and everything else. So we're going to have to allow ourselves to be much more accommodating to our own greatness and how our energy flows. And this is why things are getting so intense amongst the human species, because we are totally out of alignment with understanding the energetics of how we function. So, you know, melanin is at the very center, just like it is of every cell, of all of this, of all of this. And I tell you, I will not allow science to one day say, oh, you know, we didn't recognize how important melanin was. Okay, and so therefore now we've got to get really busy making sure that we have all the proper tests and analyze it and how we need to treat it. But before you were able to finally come to grips with the importance of melanin after half of the human species is dead, what are you going to do? Because you now recognize that you also have affected yourself. And this is just too crazy. This is why I'm saying that the only solution I can see that why individuals are so persistent in their narrow-mindedness and continuously are willing to be so bigoted, where the neuropeptides from that thinking destroys your tissues first, comes from not having access to enough brain tissue. I truly know that when individuals activate more brain tissue and are able to, in consciousness, move to different circuits in their brain, their behavior totally changes. Their eyes can see differently. They can breathe differently, like you have stated, et cetera. And now they can really begin to see the bigger picture. So the development and the nurturing of the nervous system in the human species is so important because it allows them to have a genuine basis to change on their own merit. To change on their own merit. Because to try to force people to change and to see the bigger picture, it's not working. You know, force and brutality has really reached its apex. We're going to have to move to new frequencies of being able to be self-initiating change makers. I think there's a message from our sponsor. And then, Dr. Moore, I'd like to hear your closing comments. We'll be right back.
From Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart by Dr. Jewel Pookrum, an incredible volume of work. Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy today.
Well, Dr. Moore, can you close us out? Do you have one last word on melanin and vitamin D for us today?
Well, I would just say we'll praise and raise and resurrect Ishakamusa Barashango for this day. As Misgiving Day approaches us, African people, European holidays, a mental genocide. You just talked about all that. So we're dealing with the reality of we need to start studying ourselves. Once we do that, we know about vitamin D, sun, melanin, and we will resurrect our own minds.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. We'll be back next month, and thank you so much, everyone, for listening. You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and please remember that Thanksgiving is every day. Enjoy your life. Bye-bye.
Broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.